Hi, and welcome to Nassio Voices, where we talk all things state IT. I'm Amy Glasscock in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Alex Whitaker in Washington, D.C. Today, we're talking with our friend and colleague, Eric Sweden, about data literacy. Eric was the primary author on a new Nassio publication called Data Literacy Within State Government, building a knowledgeable workforce that knows how to use data for better decisions.
We'll talk to Eric about the report, what data literacy is, how it relates to artificial intelligence, and more. Eric, welcome back to Nassio Voices, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's so great to be here.
Hey, Eric. So, tell us what exactly data literacy is and why Nassio published this report.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about this whole concept of data literacy in past. In its most simple form, data literacy is a basic understanding regarding how to use data, how to effectively fulfill roles and responsibilities throughout state government using data. The Indiana Performance Hub has a great definition. They say data literacy is our ability to read, analyze, create, and talk about data in state government.
So, Eric, in our conversations with our state colleagues about AI, we talk a lot about the importance of having good data to have useful AI. How is data literacy related to AI and generative AI?
As you stated, Amy, in the report on AI, your AI blueprint, there's 12 considerations you highlighted regarding artificial intelligence roadmaps and what should be included. Data quality is a critical component for effective use of Gen AI, including watchouts such as bias and inaccuracies, inconsistencies, how many different answers might we get from the data depending upon the source of that data. So Gen AI may be a motivator actually to help move states forward with data quality and supporting data literacy initiatives. Gen AI absolutely depends on data, and that data has to be high quality data.
Absolutely.
So, Eric, are data literacy and data quality an issue only for states and territories? Who else needs to be thinking about this?
Good question, Alex. Actually, data quality, data literacy, it's an issue for everybody. For every organization, no one has actually fully conquered this issue. Data quality is a disparate circumstance across and within organizations of all types. For-profit, non-profit, government, health organizations, research facilities, manufacturing, chemistry, telecommunications, even individuals. You know, think about our own personal record keeping and data management. Now, there are pockets and instances of very high quality data management processes and data quality discipline, but it depends on the leadership and the contributors to that discipline. There are organizations within organizations that have put this issue of data quality high on their priorities, and it has a direct relationship to how these people think about data and information. They have a high degree of data literacy. So it's a common problem across all sectors of the economy.
Yeah, and a common problem that's not really going anywhere, it seems like. So you state in the report that everyone in state government is a data steward. What does that mean exactly?
Everyone is a data steward. You and I are data stewards. Anyone that touches state data or data, either entering it, retrieving it, analyzing it, those people are involved in development projects, are working with data modelers, creating data models, data architects to create the foundation we build on. And those data models are establishing the business rules embedded in systems, databases, business processes. And the people entering data are at the front end of the data lineage process, the headwater of data, if you will. And that eventually leads to transactions, analysis, insights, decisions, citizen outcomes. So everyone is involved in that complete set of processes, and they all touch data, they all use data, and we all have to be thinking about data quality. So in fact, everybody is a data steward, Alex.
So we've talked about how data literacy is even more important given this emerging interest that we're seeing in Gen AI and also quantum computing and other things. So what can states do to address it?
Well, it's a hard thing to solve, but we've been working on it, but we've got a lot of work yet to do, Amy. Definitely create and continue to invest in data literacy programs and initiatives. Put someone in charge of it, a data literacy director. Staff it. Apply budget and resources. Make data literacy part of everyone's job to learn, appreciate, value data. And then copy, mimic what works. You know, we have our state awards archive library. That's a great place to look. We've got our webinars. We've got great examples across the states. Reuse what's been learned. So for state members, look at our webinar on this topic with the NASIO state members online community. We had several chief data officers on that webcast. And by the way, for corporate members of NASIO, help us with this. Make this a priority within your organization too, and share what you do within your organization with state government. State government is really about all of us. So even if you are a corporate member, you live in one of our states or territories, and that should matter to you professionally and personally. See the data literacy programs in Indiana, Texas, Pennsylvania, other states, and you can find some of these on YouTube even, and reuse some of these programs. Build incentives into your program to participate. Training in data literacy should be as close as possible to the role and responsibilities an individual has. And then you could see why a data literacy program needs staff and resources, because this takes a lot to carry this forward. The agenda for any such center of excellence, if you will, for data literacy will only become more important as we go forward. Again, collaborate with other states. Watch the NASIO Awards program for projects from which you can learn. Talk to experts in data management, and they will tell you data literacy is more than training sessions. An effective data literacy program will entail all the spokes of the DEMA, Dimbach wheel, or whatever framework you use for data management. It's not just about training on the importance of data. It's a full data management program, Amy.
That's great. Yeah, I appreciate that. And so what are other motivators for pursuing data quality? And what are some supportive efforts or resources in data literacy that our listeners might want to be aware of?
Well, for sure, there's rationale for pursuing data quality. And I'll give you a few ideas, a few examples. The resources are out there. There's a lot of books that have been written. One in particular, it's titled Information Quality Applied by Larry English. It's a great reference for anyone involved in data quality, data literacy. And I had the opportunity to meet Larry, by the way, back in my years in chemical manufacturing. I got to know him a bit and talk to him about what he's doing. Actually, you know, his PhD is in music. He was a trumpet performer, but he got involved in data management and data quality and data literacy. So he did a great study of data quality and wrote this book. And in that book, he presents some of the motivations you're asking about, Amy. Here's a few. So these would be on the negative side. So without data quality, and you can't have data quality if people don't care about it, so that's the connection to data literacy. But here's one company. They had, I won't give any company names. We will keep the organization names out of this. But there was an office automation system that was abandoned after deployment, costing $130 million. Okay, there's a loss of $130 million because they didn't have high quality data. They had poor data quality. Another example Larry gives in his book is software specification and design errors cost $350 million to a company, and they actually had an explosion in their facility. Customer relationship management upgrade problems led to a revenue loss of $100 million. An enterprise resource planning project that was canceled after $54 million was spent. Okay, these were all failures due to poor data qualities. These are significant costs to avoid. Then on the other side of the equation, Amy, are the added benefits related to quality of data, you know, that's created through data literacy, input into insight-enabling analytics or even Gen AI, quality in, quality out. You know, generative AI is only going to produce results that are as good as the data that it consumes. So we could look on the positive side as people being more effective in their jobs, getting things done right, better interaction with citizens, better interaction with regulatory agencies, grant reporting, cyber analytics. It's endless in terms of the benefits to be gained through high data quality and a very data literate organization.
Yeah, well, certainly lots of benefits. And this has really been a fascinating conversation. But you know the drill. And before we let you go, it is time for the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, great. So first question, what's your favorite way to stay active?
Well, I enjoy hiking, walking, bicycling. I do a little bit of weightlifting, yeah, not bench pressing, but those kinds of things. Pretty basic kinds of things, Alex.
Yeah, I know people can often find you in the gym at NASIO conferences, so we know you like to stay
<That's>
active.
<true.
laughs> And speaking of conference, if you were trapped in a breakout room at a conference for an entire weekend, what are three things you'd bring with you?
So, Amy, you're telling me in advance, I know I'm going to be trapped.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if I'm afforded the opportunity to plan for being trapped, my first choice would be a key to get out or a ladder to climb out the window. But, you know, among some other things, certainly my guitar, mm-hmm. Maybe some select transcriptions that I'm working on, some favorite books, maybe some type of holographic quantum door. So I can get out through any wall. So those would be a few things I would want to have with me.
Makes sense.
This is a crazy conference. All right. And finally, what's a mundane task that you'd like a robot to do for you?
Recharge hours, expense reports. Once a receipt is received, the robot is already programmed to select the right accounting code, event description. In fact, the expense report is written as the expenses are incurred. I thought of some other things here. Just a minute. Let's see. How about running a dust mop vacuum cleaner in my basement where my office is?
That's good.
Or washing cars. Actually, I don't mind doing those things. Mowing the lawn, but then I wouldn't get all my steps in. Could a robot check me in at a ticket counter at an airline, check my bags, and then get them on the other side? Those are a few ideas, Alex. Do you think we can find a robot to do those things?
I think with what we're doing with AI, your expense report one may not be too far off in the future.
So. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That would be
mine
great.
Mine would just be laundry. I do too much laundry.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm trying to get it to do as much as possible these days, so we'll see. All right, Eric. Well, that's our time for today. We'll put a link to the report in the show notes. And Eric, just want to thank you for coming back to join us and for always saying yes when we invite you to the podcast.
So glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks,
Eric. Thanks again for listening to NASIO Voices. NASIO Voices is a production of the National Association of State Chief Information Officers, or NASIO.
Registration for our NASIO Mid-Year Conference in National Harbor, Maryland is open now through April 22nd. There will be no on-site registration.
And if you're a NASIO state member and have a cool project to share, be sure to submit a nomination for a state IT recognition award. Entries are due before May 24th. Learn more at NASIO.org/awards.